No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome to the 12th Man Rising Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Here's your hosts, Lee Vowell and Todd Vandenberg.
Welcome to the 12th Man Rising Podcast. I'm never really sure when it's starting to record, but I'm going to assume it's recording. And we will now pick up where we left off last week. And so the problem remained. Lots of the people were mean, and most of them were miserable, even the ones with digital watches.
I'm going to interrupt you right now because I want to know what you're drinking.
I'll get to that in 1 second. I have to get through that. I mean, it's just part of our contractual obligation.
God, okay.
Many were increasingly of the opinion that they all made a big mistake in coming down from the trees in the first place. And some said that even the trees had been a bad move and that no one should ever have left the oceans. And then one Thursday, nearly 2,000 years after one man had been nailed to a tree for saying how great it would be to be nice to people for a change, a girl sitting on her own in a small cafe in Rickmansworth suddenly realized what it was that had been going wrong all this time. And she finally knew how the world could be made a good and happy place. This time, it was right. It would work. And no one would have to get nailed like Jesus to anything. Added the like Jesus part.
That's from Samuel Johnson, isn't it?
It's from Thomas Paine. Thomas Paine wrote that. I am drinking a Carlsberg Premium Elephant Pilsner, which is 350% alcohol.
Nice. I'm not currently drinking a Carlsberg, but Carlsberg is a reliable beverage.
It's reliable. For those people.
I am drinking, this is quite a lovely product. It's from Refined Fool Brewing Company, which is
from fucking Ontario, I'm sure.
Exactly, Sarnia, Ontario. The reason I bought this is because it's a pale ale. The name of the beverage is Todd is an Absolute Beauty. And I am not making that up. I sent you the photo.
When did you send me the photo?
It's foolishly good beer.
A long time ago? I don't see it.
No, like 10 minutes ago. It's 5%.
Literally did not see it. 10 minutes ago, really? You sent me a...
It's 5%. 5% alcohol. Oh, yeah. But here's the cool thing about this.
Actually, it looks like you on the can.
I know, right? It looks like really...
With stupid. The beard, heavy beard, which you don't have.
Which I don't have anymore, which I never had because I can't grow a heavy beard, but I used to have the multicolor. It does have the pink kind of goatee look, which I did sport one Christmas. Here's the best thing about this, though. Okay, so 5% alcohol, right? Great. Here's the contents.
That's not great, but...
Barley and oats. There's no water at all in this. It's just like eating sand. Oh my God, it's the best thing ever.
I don't think you know what barley is.
Yeah, barley.
It should not taste like sand.
Barley and oats. Well, this tastes like... And it's interesting because it looks kind of like a blend of grapefruit juice. It's very cloudy. And, like, if you're not drinking enough water and maybe you have an infection, you know how, like, a certain byproduct of your body looks cloudy? Kind of what it looks like. Anyway, but it tastes
fine. She said she got tested. I don't believe her.
No, there you go. Anyway, this is a lovely... product again. Todd is an absolute beauty. Pale Ale from the Refined Fool Brewing Company. And again, they are not paying me to say this, so I don't know why I'm saying it. I'm not going to say it anymore.
Although they should. You should ask for a sponsorship.
I'm going to ask for a sponsorship. You know what they'll do? They'll send me a case of this. Probably.
That counts.
That wouldn't hurt my feelings.
Like, what's a case? Like 64 beers?
I'm not really sure. They have this thing up here, and I'm in Ontario, Canada. They have this thing called the Beer Store, which has a huge variety of beverages.
It's called the Beer Store?
12. Yeah, the Beer Store. And okay, maybe they have like 20 different varieties, but honest to God, they have like one of the worst selections I've ever seen. Maybe it was just that particular beer store I went into, but it's like kind of like a mini warehouse. You may basically go in to buy a case. They just sell cases of beer. Maybe you can get 6-packs, although they favor 8-packs up here a lot, which tells you a lot about Canadians. But yeah.
Must be the metric thing.
Yeah, mainly maybe. You would think they would sell them in tens, but they don't. That's one of the weird things about Canada is like they really love the metric system and the imperial system at the same damn time, which is really weird.
Is that what we have in the United States, the imperial system?
Yeah, because we love
Canada. Okay, we had that in World War II Japan.
Yeah. Anyway.
Something you were saying reminded me of something that I can't remember currently.
Probably about the Seahawks, I hope.
Jesus. No, it wasn't. It wasn't about the Seahawks. God. It was about something else.
Oh, about the debate between the toddler and the adult.
We'll get into that because we won't lose too many people to begin the show.
Too late.
So we will let's review week one of the Seahawks via Broncos.
I liked it. Did you like it?
You know what? I thought that I did not think
that was too hot, wasn't it?
It was super sexy, if that's what you're trying to say. Mm-hmm. I did not think that Marshawn Lynch had that great of a game, to be honest. Actually, he had a great game. He wasn't even playing, and he had a great game. Lots of articles have been written about Marshawn Lynch. I was happy with the second half offense, and I was ecstatic with the defense through most of the game until the end. And it was like, oh no, they're not really going to come back and win this game, surely.
Yeah.
Because it was a little over 2 minutes left. I mean, thank God for Tyler Lockett, first of all. The one-handed catch. The game.
The old man of the NFL entering this.
The old man in the sea.
He's 1,000 years old and he makes I'm sure you've written it. I didn't notice specifically if you've written.
I haven't written anything this week.
And basically everyone who's written about the play, that's a spectacular play for virtually everyone except for Tyler Lockett. It's like, oh yeah, I think I'll just do what I always freaking do in every freaking game. I mean, honest to God, was anybody surprised that Tyler Lockett? I mean, you look at the play and it's like, what the hell, dude? It's like, okay, you're going to – oh, sorry, now you're playing Superman. Cool. I love the way you fly out there. I mean, the only thing that didn't make it the typical Tyler Lockett thing, it wasn't at the sidelines, and he didn't have to drag his toes within, like, 2 millimeters, you know, of the sideline, so which the Ravens sure would have liked to have had Tyler Lockett on their final play against the Chiefs. But, oh, my God, it's an amazing play, and it's like, oh, well, it's Tyler Lockett. Like, okay, it's kind of what you expect, which is insane. The guy makes a freaking brilliant play. And for him, where does that – because it's, you know, the first game of the season.
His career.
You know, I was like, how much does that stand – for anybody else is like, oh, my God, that's like the best catch I'll ever make. And for him, is like, where does it rank, 27th or something? I mean, unbelievable. Well,
maybe not even that.
Unreal. Unreal.
Do you know – the pass was where it needed to be, too. I know that sounds ridiculous. Exactly.
No, but Geno Smith, it's a brilliant pass.
Yeah, because he knew Lockett would catch it. And that was the only – if he had thrown it shorter, the defender would have knocked it down. Exactly. Now, do you really need to – is that the play that you need to be forced to run in that situation? Probably not.
Exactly. That's the issue. I was like, the offense wasn't good in the second half. The offense was spectacular in the third quarter. Yeah. In the second half, exactly. As soon as Kenneth Walker was out, you know how many yards the Hawks gained after Kenneth Walker went out? 5, and that's on a penalty.
Yeah.
Until the miraculous catch, which is like, oh yeah, whatever, I'll just catch it like I always do. Two series.
It was a weird game.
Two series, and they gained nothing other than 5 yards on a penalty, which set up the first down for Lockett. And again, that's not on Geno at all. I mean, Geno, he had no time to frickin' throw in that first quarter. That was ridiculous. The second quarter got a little bit better.
You literally can't have 3 offensive plays to start the game the way they did. That would be worse. You had a penalty, you had a sack, and an interception.
Yeah, and it's like the offensive line was just horrible.
Except for Charles Cross.
Charles Cross, it's like, okay, so how can we clone this dude? And it's like, who knows how he'll play out for the rest of the season, right? It's one game. And hopefully the rest of the squad will elevate themselves like they did during the third quarter.
Yeah. And hold on. Well, I should say Connor Williams played well. It was really everybody but pretty those well, two yeah. positions. Yeah.
He wasn't great, but pretty well, yeah. Here's
for somebody who hadn't played in a year.
Literally. Literally is like he had a great game. I totally agree on that, considering the circumstances and new system, all the rest of it. But oh my God, it's just yards before contact. And now this is from Pro Football Reference, which is free, so you don't need a subscription for this. Kenneth Walker averaged yards before contact 2.6. And which is also his average yards after contact, 2.6, which is kind of crazy because he ripped off that nice long run anyway. Charbonnet, 8 carries, 12 yards. Yards before contact, again, this is according to Pro Football Reference. So I don't know if you need to take that with a grain of salt or whatever, but that's one statistical source. Minus 0.6 yards. So he didn't even get to the line of scrimmage on his average rush before he got hit. What does that tell you about the offensive line?
It tells me that Charbonnet is slow to take the handoff.
That could be it.
10 seconds for him to take the hand. I mean, by that time. It makes you wonder, though, what if they had put, and I'm not saying it would have done any better, but if Kenny McIntosh had played, at least you would have had that level of explosiveness that you don't really have with Charbonnet.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think we need to see some of Kenny against the Patriots coming up. Not a lot, because obviously we need a lot of K-9. But, granted, he doesn't have great top-end speed, but that's not what we're talking about when we're talking about getting past the line of scrimmage, obviously. So, yeah, I would like to see, I don't know, maybe just 5 or 6 plays. McIntosh, that's probably even too much, but at least see what he can do when Charbonnet's not getting anything. Try something.
He didn't last year. I mean, he had a couple of good runs when he didn't need to start, but when he started, he didn't get any yards. I mean, maybe he's a good running back. He's just a different running back than Walker, and I don't know if
exactly. I don't think you're knocking him, and I'm not knocking him. It's just with this offensive line, right? I mean, Walker didn't do anything in the first half himself, right?
He realized I don't have any blocking in the second half, and he's like, I probably should need to do this on my own.
Exactly, and they changed the scheme. They started trying to run up the gut because there is no way to run behind either of those guards at this point. So let's go out wide. Let's go off tackle. It's like all of a sudden he's ripping off, what do you have, like 84 yards in the second half?
Yeah.
Yeah, 84 yards in the second half, 19 in the first. It's like, what happened? But I will say this much. Ryan Grubb did a spectacular job of adjusting. How often have we complained, you and I and all 12s in general, like, and Tyler Lockett, speaking of the genius, the magician of the football field, last year is like, okay, we're not making adjustments. It was like he publicly said that, which was kind of shocking that he even said it, but kind of had to at that point, right? It's like we're not doing anything at the second half. We're just like going out there and trying the same thing over and over and over.
Or passing more. Completely passing.
Exactly. On the rare occasions when they're running the ball well and then they forget and they stop running the ball, it's like And again, let me backtrack a bit. Pete Carroll, best coach the Seahawks have ever had in their history. And if if McDonald passes him, it's going to take a hell of a lot of effort to make that happen. I'm happy we've got him. I think he's a great coach.
He's the only undefeated coach in the history of the Seahawks, Todd.
Absolutely, that's true. Can't dispute that.
And he should be that way after week two.
But there were issues.
Did you just call me a butt?
Yes, I did.
Ridiculous.
I know, totally. Speaking of the debate last night. Anyway, obviously there were issues with the team, which is why we now have a new head coach, right? But and one of the issues that people have brought up constantly and harped on is like, why are we not making adjustments in the second half? It's like, that was not an issue in this game because, wow, that offense, like you said, completely different when they came out. I mean, they started getting together in the second quarter, but that second half, like, that was it. It was done.
Yeah.
And the defense the entire time.
Well, right. And that's what we
drive. Wow, that defense was like,
yeah, everything I mean, is. Even the, I mean, really, nearly every game, there is a drive like the Broncos had that cut it to 26-20. I mean, keeping a team completely under wraps, which they did, except for really that drive, right? I mean, they averaged 3.3 yards a play, which is ridiculously low.
Yep.
And that's with the defense still trying to come to some kind of cohesion under McDonald's new scheme.
Mm-hmm.
The tackling alone was just this is what you do. And then the play by Love was great, but the play by Reek Woolen, he made it look so easy that it looked like Nix had thrown a bad pass and he didn't. It was just, as somebody else was pointing this out on Seattle Sports, like somebody knows football better than we do, which is everybody, but they had
pretty much
talked about Woolen trailing the receiver and how most cornerbacks, maybe they make a play to knock it down, but most cornerbacks don't, in the NFL even, don't have the speed to overtake the receiver and then be in a position to make a fairly easy interception. Yep. It was just, it was clear that Woolen had taken a different approach to this season, and also
the
coaching and the scheme is better. I mean, the defense, the there's still things they can fix, obviously, and they will, and they'll get better and better as the season goes on, hopefully. I mean, the level of competition is going to step up. I mean, it's not going to get much worse than it was against, or much the awfulness that the Broncos offense was. People were like, oh, Bo Nix, and maybe he will be fine. He's a rookie in Lumenfield. There's not much they're going to be able to do.
Exactly.
Against a comparable, against a defense that is somewhat decent. And I think the defense is, I mean, it's just everything we've been told this offseason came true, right? There's more aggression. There's better tackling. There's better fundamentals.
Absolutely. All the way through. I mean, this looked like what you would expect. And again, I'm going to throw a reference to Pete Carroll again. This is what you would expect from a Pete Carroll defense 10 years ago. I'm not saying this is like the Legion of Boom, but this is the kind of because that's what those defenses did, right? They were all over the field. And as soon as someone got the ball, if they got the ball, they got hit. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened in this game. And they got hit often multiple times. It's like they were swarming to the ball all the time. It's like, yeah, they gave up 26 points, except not really, because they gave up 22 points.
And you mean the Broncos did?
Yeah, 20. Sorry, they gave up 16 points. Duh.
Yeah, they didn't really even do that.
Right, because they had a 20-yard field and a 9-yard field, and they lost yardage on those drives.
Yeah,
it's like oh okay, like that told you everything you needed to know about the Hawks defense. Is like when they held Denver to 6 points on two drives that started in the red zone. Like, okay, these guys are lit, and they just kept it up, like you said, until that final drive. And it's, again, you have a relatively mobile quarterback, and it's hard to contain them. And especially it's kind of garbage time in your head. Would have been nice to have stopped that drive. Absolutely. Would have been much, much better. Would have had a nice sigh of relief, right? Because I don't know if it was going through your head. I think it kind of was. It was going through mine. It was like, oh, here we go again. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I was like, because we're not moving the ball. We're not moving the ball. Nothing's happening. And then Smith makes a perfect throw, like you said. Because, honest, if that had been a foot more to the left, the pass would have been broken up. He put it exactly where it had to be, because that was fantastic coverage. Like, yeah, but didn't make any difference because Geno put it exactly where it had to be. Like, I don't know where all the Geno haters were on that play. I guess they just
thinking it was more of a locket catch than a Geno Smith pass.
Yeah, because it just teleported from Connor Williams' hand somehow.
I think you mean teleprompter.
Back involved. Maybe it was a teleprompter. But perfect throw and like ridiculous catch, obviously. And that, there you go. 1-0. So at the end, a much more difficult than it should have been. But considering, like you said, how it started, like,
I mean, two safeties. Yeah,
there could have been a worse.
I mean, it was a weird game.
There could have been a worse start, sure. But as like, I mean, he could have been a pick six, right? It could have been a fumble, and it could have been down 14-0. You know, like just like that. But basically, you kind of imagine a worse start to the season. And like, and so many people on the Hawks, and including Mike McDonald, said is like Geno just like, it's like, okay, halftime is like, this is, you know, let's get to work. And holy crap, they got to work. That third quarter was like brilliant, man. Brilliant.
Yeah.
And again, the defense is like, the defense, other than that last series, is like, that defense was lit the whole time.
I mean, and they'll clearly get tested in week 3 and 4 with the Dolphins and the Lions.
Yeah, they definitely will.
But I mean, they could be each game that goes on through the season because of the new scheme and everybody still adapting. Right. I mean, players like Jerome Baker had a fabulous game, but he hadn't even played. Right. So he should be able to acclimate a little bit better as the season goes on and so on and so forth. But it's, you know, by week 6 or so, you know, maybe they're kind of where they need to be. But I mean, that's a. To start, they got a break with Nix. I mean, no offense to Nix. He might be fine, but he is not necessarily a future Hall of Famer. He's a quality quarterback in Sean Payton's system, but he's not going to elevate the team. He made that little pump fake, which I think it was Devin Witherspoon, right? Kind of jumped and didn't know. I mean,
right,
what do you expect from him? I mean, he's a cornerback. He's not used to being in that situation. So it made sense.
The one mistake he made in the entire game.
Yeah, and even that is forgivable. It's not like he...
It's not like it's like, oh, dude, what are you doing? It's like, it happens.
Yeah, if he's like a linebacker, they're taught to, you go after the player. As a defensive back, you're taught to, oh, I need to, you know, protect the pass. I mean, it's kind of different things. But, yeah, I mean, overall, it was they got the win. But, you know, this week, the first week of the NFL season was so... weird because it was like the fewest passing yards since decades, right? It was like
you look at the roster of the top quarterbacks and you keep on seeing 170, 180 yards. Yeah. It's like, what the heck? Is this like night? Is this 2024 or 1924? It's like, what's going on?
It was almost like
bizarre week.
Yeah, it was because, like, I mean, a lot of starters don't play in the preseason. Usually that's not a big deal. I mean, week 1s are kind of lies, right? Because we never really know. It's like an extension of the preseason. But it was just, like, weird just how, I mean, Aaron Rodgers was terrible against the 49ers. 49ers have a good defense, he was terrible. Brock Purdy didn't do much.
But, you know, Aaron Rodgers is basically washed. I mean, on the plays that Aaron Rodgers used to be brilliant at, and I'm not talking about last year because obviously last year was lost. Like the last half of the previous season, he pretty much sucked on those on those deep throws that used to be. It was like, oh, this guy is the god of the NFL. He was trash, and it's like, and I'm not saying he's trash now, but on those balls that used to be his specialty, he can't make those throws anymore.
Yeah.
So oh, all and the one, stuff one thing about we the should Jets making the playoffs is like.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to play. How many 49ers teams are they going to play? You know, they could still make the playoffs. But one thing we should point out is that Geno Smith's interception for, he threw an interception. That was not that was not his fault. He
exactly.
got hit low. What was he supposed to do? I mean, exactly. he may have thrown it away, but I mean, most quarterbacks are going to make a mistake in that situation because they're forced to make a mistake.
Yep.
But yeah, anyway, looking ahead to week two, speaking of week one weirdness, you know, the Patriots beat the Bengals 16-10, which again, that was a weird game. And the Bengals had
very weird,
a lot of weird mistakes. No T Higgins, Jamar right. Chase coming back after not playing ever, not even practicing. So it was just kind of a weird, and the Bengals historically have gotten off to a slow start, even with Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I was just going to say that the Bengals usually, I mean, what were they? Weren't they like 0-4 the year that they like made a lot of noise in the playoffs, or 1-4? I mean, they
yeah,
were
something
garbage, yeah. and at the beginning of the season, so it's not surprising they got off to a slow start. And to me, it's not surprising that the Patriots look good on defense. Their defense has generally been okay, and Gerard Mayo's taken over, so that's not yeah. too much of a surprise. But just, it's still weird that they eked out that win. But I think this is a tougher game than the Denver game.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Well, you're on the road for one.
Right.
And the Patriots, I mean, the Broncos seem like they'll have a decent defense. But the Patriots they got really good pressure on Burrow, and they should mm-hmm. be able to do the same thing against Geno Smith because
right.
you know, we saw the Seahawks offensive line is not that good again.
Yep.
I don't really know what, I mean, you've got a new offensive line coach. That John Schneider definitely addressed. I definitely think they need to maybe make a change with Bradford and put Haynes yeah. in, but maybe Haynes just isn't ready. And then you've got the issue at right tackle where you probably have Stone Forsythe starting.
Unless they make a deal, like you had written an article, maybe Dwayne Brown comes back and yeah, other sites, if they've listed even like several tackles play. That are still out there. Yeah. It's like, That's worrisome when the right side of the line is a huge question mark.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, the right side of the line, right? I mean, because center's okay. Mark. Left yeah. guard should be fine. Left tackle looks really good. It's yeah. it's the right side of the line.
Yeah. Tomlinson wasn't great, but he wasn't abysmal. You know, yeah. it's like, right. and it was like wedged in between Williams and Cross, who's like had a phenomenal game. And like, this is kind of what we expected him to be. So there's no real reason to think is like, oh, that was a one game thing for him. It's like, that's how the dude should be playing yeah. at this point. It's like, and that's not like an expectation, like, oh, he needs to do this. It's just, that's, he expects to play like that. I picture he will have solid games the entire, he may have like one bad game, but overall that's who this guy is. Yeah.
And I think if Pharaoh Brown can come back, I think that will help if they line him up on the right hand side.
Yeah, that'll help a lot. No offense
to AJ Barner, but he's not ready to play. And he played most of his snaps on rundowns. He wasn't really targeted. I mean, he wasn't targeted.
No, he wasn't targeted at all. Yeah.
And otherwise, I mean, Brady Russell is more of a receiver than a blocker. I think if Brown right. is able to come back and we'll get the first, we're recording this on Wednesday, but we'll get the first injury report for week two today. So it'll be interesting. He might still be out with a foot issue, I think.
Yeah, but Brown will be a big help. And from what he said earlier on, he didn't think he would miss that much time. So hopefully, you know, that's exactly what we'll see. We'll get him back in there, which would be a big, big help for sure.
Yeah. But, and, so, I mean, the receivers didn't do, except for Lockett. I mean, that was a disappointing. I mean, I get Patrick Surtain being on DK Metcalf, and that has. But JSN didn't do anything. That Noah Fant didn't do anything.
They didn't really try throwing deep to, of course, when did they have time to throw deep for the most part?
That's true.
So, you know, but I was looking at the depth of targets, and Lockett.
Well, they threw deep to Zach Charbonnet, who was wide open.
Yeah, it was like, wow, that was I was happy to see it, but I could have made that catch. Well, I don't know. I probably wouldn't have made the catch. I would have like screamed and said, oh my God, it's a ball. They would have fallen down. But it's like,
I might have caught it, but I would
10 yards.
Sort of immediately hit the ground and I was just like, and then scampered out of bounds. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah. I mean, that was, I mean, a nice catch. And it's like, that's what you're supposed to do. But I mean, wasn't exactly challenging for him because of like the Broncos just completely blew that play. Thank God.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Every point mattered. And
at least Geno read it. He knew what was happening, and then
Exactly.
It was a great play call by Ryan Grubb as well.
Yeah, Geno, who's just such a terrible, awful quarterback.
He's really awful.
These people, I swear to God, it's like sometimes they.
You know what it is? I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's the exact same mentality. What'd you say?
They're stupid. It could be what it is.
Well, yes. The same exact mentality that Donald Trump has when he's literally. When he says everything, everyone, big, huge, it's all like grander, and there's no substance. They can say, "Oh, Geno Smith's a bad quarterback," because you can say, "Oh, it's all grander." You can just say it, but you don't have to back it up. But you should.
Yeah, some guy posted is like, "Oh, well, this survey said that he was the 20th in quarterback." Yeah. And it was like, "Okay, what survey? Who said that?" And then, by the way, name me the 19 quarterbacks who are better than he is. And the guy never responded, of course, because you can't name 19 quarterbacks, period, let alone that might be better. Idiot.
Yeah, I saw you and I actually liked that was on Facebook, 12th Man Rising Facebook. But was. And you even brought it. But you also gave specific stats on passes beyond 15 or beyond 10 yards. Right.
Right. And there's some categories where he is in the top five. On top three of the league. And granted, you know, there's lies, there's damn lies.
As far as he's top three bad quarterback.
But, you know, these are important stats. Like you said, is like passes over 20 yards. It's like, Geno's like ripping it compared to most quarterbacks in the league. It's like, yeah. And that doesn't make him a top five quarterback. But he sure as hell isn't in the bottom third of the league. That's absolutely absurd. And, you know, it's like all of these, you look at all the prognosticators who like, not all, but a lot who put the Seahawks as, oh, they're like, same thing as like this one idiot put for Geno. It's like, oh, they're like 20th or 23rd in the league. Now, all of a sudden, oh, they're like 14th. And now their odds of making the playoffs, like according to one statistical run by one site, was like 52%, went up from 37% on the strength of one game. Like, probably your initial analysis was stupid. I honest to God, I cannot figure out why people look at this team that was 9-8 last year
and the year before.
And now all of a sudden, even though they've improved the roster, I haven't seen anyone who said, oh, the roster's not as good. No one has said that when they go ahead and say, oh, this team's going to win 7 games. It's like, what? How does that happen?
Yeah.
How do you go from 9-8 to 7-10? When you've got a better roster and the same people who are predicting, oh, this is a 7-10 team are talking about, oh, well, McDonald's a genius for a defense. I was like, oh, OK, so, you know, the issue was the defense because the defense was god awful. What, 30th against the run?
31st against the run.
It's like, OK. Yeah. And you bring in that everyone acknowledges he's a defensive genius. Yep. But this team's going to be 2 games worse. Like,
yeah.
I
think partly maybe it was due to the NFC West, but they might have gotten a break with all the Rams injuries in week one. Maybe the Rams beat them twice this year. I mean, we don't think that'll happen. Maybe they split. I mean, that seems conceivable. But the Rams could stumble a little bit. I mean, not because of – I mean, they still gave the Lions – those Lions, right? They still gave them a really tough game, even with all the injuries. But eventually the injuries are going to catch up to you and teams are going to know, hey, we can scheme against this and this and this because they don't have this and this and this player.
As we know on the Seahawks, because how often have injuries screwed this team over?
So never been hurt.
Speaking of the Rams-Lions game, I'm sure you didn't stay up for the end of that game or you might not have watched it at all. I like tuned it in like
the Issaquah Lions? The fourth
quarter. Yeah.
And the Medicine Hat Rams?
It was really bizarre because the overtime, the Lions just like marched through the Rams like it was a scrimmage. And like, what the hell happened here? Because they weren't doing that in the entire game, obviously. It was a tough game, a very tough game.
What was the line?
I don't remember what the line was. It was probably, I don't know, 3.5 Lions or some crap like that. But they just like, they just played smash mouth football and they beat the crap out of the Rams on that drive. It's just like, okay, I'm gonna run, nice pass, run. It's like The Rams couldn't do anything. They looked horrible on that drive. Again, I didn't watch the game. And you look at the score, and obviously the Rams played fairly well for the entire game. But in that overtime, is just like they were gassed. I'm not suggesting they gave up, because pretty much.
Are you trying to say Bill Johnson, offensive coordinator for the Lions, said, these are a real blaze, let's run them now?
It's almost seemed like that, except they weren't, you know, it's just like, oh, let's run Montgomery, like right up the middle. And like, oh, okay, we'll pick up 7 yards.
The city,
just like
the whole city of Montgomery?
Well, that probably
seems unfair. Happened.
Yeah, well, it's like 137,000 to 11, so I guess that was difficult.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I was just like, holy crap, what the hell happened to the Rams? Happy to see it. But and on the flip side of that, were you remotely surprised that the Cardinals totally choked in the fourth quarter?
No. Well, I was surprised they even got out to a lead in the first place.
I was too. I was.
And then Kyler Murray, of course, blamed his offensive coordinator. I guess you heard that, right? He was like, well, he's calling the plays. He's got like wide open receivers. He's not calling the plays to get receivers open. He's like, receivers are open. You're just missing them.
Kyler
and DJ
Murray.
Dallas had a good game, at least on kick return. Yeah. So that was good.
Yeah, DJ Dallas
and Evan Brown.
And Evan Brown and
at left Darryl, guard.
And Daryl Taylor, who had a spectacular game. And then there the same article is like, oh, the Bears really fleeced the Hawks on this one. It's like, well, we'll see how he does. We'll see. Yeah, let's see how he does for the whole season, because he's had those games for the Seahawks too. And it was like, honest to God, if he has 20 sacks, is more power to him, because he's a Tennessee guy.
Yeah,
I'd love to see it. Would have been nice if he had done it for the Hawks, but it's like he wasn't doing it in the preseason here either. They gave him a shot, a hell of a lot more than I would have given him, because it's like,
plus they were playing the Titans.
Yeah, very true. So we'll see how it goes. And it's like, again, if he has 20 sacks in the season, he's the defensive player of the year. It's like, go, man, that's cool. Seriously. Like, it's not like
20 sacks would be a diminishment, because he's on pace for 34.
150. Yeah, he is on pace for 34, which is, of course, and the thing is with Daryl Taylor, he could wind up with 4 for the season.
He'll probably, he could have 4 in the first 2 games and then not have another sack for 12 games.
Because he's so inconsistent, and somehow whoever wrote that article doesn't understand the history or didn't bother to look at it. And it's like, yeah, we know he can have games like that. That's the problem. He'll have a game like that, and then it'll be another season before he has a game like that.
Yeah.
So
that's just part of, I hate to say it.
If he does, okay, cool. That's great. But it's like, no, the Bears didn't fleece the Seahawks on that deal.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't worth anything. I mean, if they'd gotten a 5th round, that would have been amazing. Because he hadn't shown anything. It's like he's shown a very inconsistent ability to get to the quarterback, which he wasn't even doing in the preseason against second string teams. So,
well, I mean, part of the issue is that, and this is part of our job too, and we don't like it, is that you have to write articles that are like knee jerk reactions, because we know
that's
what gets clicks, and we know that the attention span of most people nowadays due to people like Donald Trump. It is very short. So you have to actually put stuff out there that's like, oh, blah, because, you know, in 3 days, it's ghost. True. I mean, doing like any kind of like deep insight, unless you're really inclined to watching a show like John Oliver or something like that, it's like, you're not going to spend time doing it. I mean, just like the debate last night, right? It's like, I mean, I'll say this. So Harris won the debate, hands down, right? But when we were watching the debate, I turned to my partner.
You and I?
Yeah. Oh, I turned to you, and I said, did you watch the debate?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So it was like 20 minutes in, there was an immigration question.
Right.
And Harris turned that immigration question into something personal about Donald Trump, about how people didn't like him.
Right.
And I turned to you and I said, she just did that on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
Just to throw him off. And he's going to get thrown off. And from that point on, yes, it was so easy. She knew it and she did so well. But it was so easy just to keep him off because he gets so insulted. So, and she did it perfectly. It changes anything, I don't know. I mean, thank God Taylor Swift finally came out and said, I'm voting for Kamala, which was not a surprise, but maybe that'll help. But yeah, anyway.
Honestly, it will help a little bit, which is weird, but that's American politics for you. It's like, oh, what is my favorite pop singer thing? I was like, who cares?
Yeah, anything. Anything. Yeah, but 1% could help.
Yeah, absolutely. But the funny thing, one of the many, many, many funny things about this debate, and you're absolutely right on that, what's funny is that he'd been dying to talk about immigration all night because he brought that in.
Because like he brought every other answer. Everything.
Everything, yes. Right? It's like, regardless of what it was talking about. It's like
your favorite pizza. I'll tell you, it's not Mexican pizza. I'll tell you
that. Yeah, every time. And when he finally got the question to address to address immigration, he started bragging about the size of his crowds.
Because she threw him off on that.
Exactly. He completely forgot to talk about immigration.
She knew he was going
to
do that. Yeah, she was so smart the whole time.
Exactly. Well, you know,
she's a smart lady. Yeah.
Prosecutor. It's like, I didn't like her. She could have done better. It's like a friend. I have another friend other than you.
She didn't do perfectly, but she did well enough. Yeah.
Exactly. And I said,
Barack Obama.
I would give her 7 out of 10 on the night, and I gave him 2 out of 10 because he did make a few points, which is amazing for him. But on the very first, I didn't like her first answer because she's talking about the 20% Trump tax. It's like, but what she needed to say is his tariff is a 20% sales tax, because a lot of people can't link those two things together.
Correct. Yeah.
And she needed to tie those together because Trump can't. He's so stupid, he doesn't understand that. And she and her team, and maybe her team said, oh, you got to link these, but she needed literally draw a little chart. It's like, look, a tariff is in essence a sales tax because the companies will not pay that. They do not absorb the cost that gets paid on to the consumer. That's why tariffs don't help consumers. I'm not saying they're a bad thing, but they impact consumers. That's why they work. If it didn't change the price of the goods.
See, Todd, you're wrong. You're just out there executing babies.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. If it didn't change, and
you're feeding on the pets. Okay.
If tariffs didn't affect consumer prices, they would not work. That's the only reason they work. Because they make it more expensive for people to buy those products. That's the whole freaking point.
Yeah.
And Trump was so stupid.
Unless you don't know how capitalism works, because there's not JCPenney, if they still exist, are not going to be like, okay, we'll pay the tariff. And just like you said, it's like we're going to pass that on to raise prices, of which the person's going to, we're not going to lose money. That's stupid.
Yeah, it's like that. So there were other things she could have done better. She could have done better, period. Like you said, she wasn't Obama. But she did a really good job overall on her points, and she was brilliant in baiting this egotistical little
baby and over. Yeah.
Constantly.
It was almost like she was waiting for that one question too. She answered, and then when it got to that, I told you. Sitting next to me, I was like, this debate just changed.
Yep, it did.
Because she intentionally did that, and she knew he was stupid enough to take the bait, and he did over and over and over again from that point on.
You can even see his glow of his red anger pushing through his little orange makeup. So, and like you said, it's like he went off on this rant. It's like they're executing babies. It's like, and you know, and they're aborting babies after they're born. It's like
that was after the babies were eating the pets.
Yeah, that's really difficult to abort something after it's born, because by definition, that's not
hold possible. Hold on, Todd.
Genius.
You're wrong. No, let's be clear. He didn't say they were aborting babies. He said they were executing babies, which is happening. Okay.
He actually said both. He said they're executing babies, and then later he said they're aborting babies after they're born. It's like,
Okay. That might be correct. We need to look into that. We don't have the factual evidence.
And the whole thing about about eating the pets.
I liked her reaction. She was just like, this is what are we doing here?
Yeah, she was like, she was watching The Office or something. She's watching Michael Scott go off on a rant. Like, this guy is nuts.
Even his own people had to be like, oh my God, no, we did not just go down that road.
And
then his answer, I saw it on TV.
Like, exactly, exactly. Dude. He's corrected and he's told there's no evidence of that. Oh, but people on TV, I saw it on television. It's like, really? We're trusting the fate of not just the United States, but the fate of the world on a guy who gets his evidence from someone he sees on television.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And she knew that part about the rallies, about people leaving. Yeah. She knew that would stick in his craw forever.
Absolutely. The biggest crowds ever. Mm-hmm. Sure, buddy. Like, he's such a simpleton. He's such a child. And it's like, I'm sorry, mommy and daddy hated you, but there's good reason for it, obviously.
Yeah, which kind of got brought up with the whole $400 million thing. But the one part where she said he brought up, 75 million votes. And then she came back and was like, 81 million people. And it's like,
yeah, 81 million.
First of all, who cares? Is George Washington thinking, well, you know what? I lost this many, or I got this many votes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right. That was
any
a
president
comeback.
Sitting there, because it doesn't matter, because there's more people. More people, thankfully, are voting now, and there's more people in the United States. So the people voting now, the amount of people voting now, based on, I don't know, you know, Eisenhower, it's going to be like completely different. There's more people. Right. Who cares what the number? But that's his thinking. He's like, it's a big number. It's a huge number. Everything's huge. Everything's beautiful. Everything's big. Everyone agrees with me.
That was a brilliant comeback by her. 81 million people fired you. Yep. It was like because you know, one of his little catchphrases, you fired. Like, you know, and how much that stung him, because it's true.
Yeah, the moderator thing, I've seen some, but at least they did say some things where it was like some clarification.
You know, the thing is like the mics were supposed to be muted and the mics were muted. And I put sort on of. Facebook is like, okay, it's like, why are they letting him talk? They actually turned the mics on when
he did a lot more talking. Oh yeah, a whole lot more.
Why but are they doing that? And people said, let him bury himself. It's like, let him bury himself in the proper sequence.
It's still unfair. You guys are, I thought that
freaking gutless. The mics are off. You're turning the mics on for this guy.
I don't know how many times he responded where it was like he wasn't supposed to respond. But
that was a big issue to me. It's like, you're turning the mic on for this guy?
Well,
like,
even when she, to be fair, even when he would say something ridiculous and Harris would say, that's a lie, you could hear her say it, even though her mic was off. So it was like,
right. But, you know, because his mic was picking it up. But it's not the same thing as like, we're going to allow you to speak out of turn and spew your bullshit because we're going to turn your microphone on. It's like, that was gutless. Absolutely gutless. Yeah, I don't care who the hell he is. Like,
yeah.
These are the rules. Adhere to the rules. Like, and that, to me, that's an example of like, this guy does not understand the rule of law. Doesn't understand the rule of anything. I'll do whatever I want to do. It's like, okay, not here, asshole. These are the rules. This is what you're going to adhere to. You can say anything you freaking want, but no one's going to listen to you because we're not broadcasting it, you twit. Yeah. Wait until it's your turn. This is not sixth grade, you little shit.
Well, and
you don't just get to blow your mouth off.
this goes back into something we've spoken about before. Whoever is running the Harris campaign deserves an A+.
Yeah.
Because they know exactly what they're doing. They knew exactly how to prepare her. I mean, Trump might have been prepared on his team. I don't know. But, you know, he's going to go off script because that's who he is.
Of course.
The Pod Save America podcast, very reputable people. They have genuine concerns about his cognitive ability. And they should, because
he's
not all there. I mean, he does make. Is he aware of what he's? I don't think he is. He's not aware of some of the things he's saying, and it's like the whole pet thing. It's like, come on, dude.
JD Vance, who put that out there and before Trump did on social media, actually came out the same day earlier in the day and admitted that was a hoax. He said it was probably a hoax, but he said, keep those cat memes coming because. Whatever, you know, but his own vice president, who he doesn't talk to, by the way, who he threw under the bus.
He did.
Oh, my God.
But here's the thing where I agree with him. Canadian geese need to go away. So if people are.
The correct term, sir, is cobra chickens.
Too arrogant.
They're cobra chickens.
But if people are eating pets, which they aren't, but if they need to eat wildlife, I mean, Canadian geese, there's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
It probably is kind of tasty.
And ducks. They're eating ducks. They claim they're eating dogs and cats and ducks at the pond, and which, of course, was
not true. Right? Well, none of it's true, but at least duck makes sense.
Yeah. And then the whole thing, which they didn't come
it's
up.
All those Chinese immigrants.
This is some crap that J.D. Vance was promulgating that is like, there's Venezuelan gangs running wild. And I don't remember if it was in Aurora, Colorado, but some town in Colorado. Like, why would there be Venezuelan gangs in this weird little town? And it turned out that was some BS that the landlord of 6 different properties made up to try to keep inspections from being done. Because he was out of code. So he's just trying to make a little bit more dangerous to do that.
I think that's correct. I think Felix Hernandez has a bunch of friends that live in Colorado.
By the way, Julie Chavez Rodriguez, who apparently just became Hispanic 2 weeks ago, that's the campaign manager for Ms. Harris. So there you go. That's the person who deserves a big part of the credit.
Just turned Hispanic. The other thing they needed to point out was, because I keep bringing up all the basically everybody who comes to this country from another country is a criminal, basically is what they said. Right. Mm-hmm. But the percentage of crime based on people who are immigrants is actually down, and it's lower than the general population of people who have lived here for generations. Point that out.
That was another thing she really missed an opportunity when he brought that up like countless times.
Do you think she missed really an opportunity or do you think she just didn't want to take the bait and kind of go down that road? Because then she's getting into a discussion with the kind of argument that he wants to have about immigration.
No, all she needed to say was, I'm curious. Was it an illegal immigrant who shot those two kids and two teachers in Georgia? By the way, was it an illegal immigrant who nicked your ear, which apparently is miraculously healed, and killed the fireman at one of your own rallies?
Yeah.
That's all she needed to say.
Yeah, the ear thing's getting more and more weird because there is no scar.
She didn't need to. I don't really care. I think he really did get hit by a piece of shrapnel, whatever. I think he really got hit because blood was there pretty quickly. And it's immaterial. Mm. The problem was a person was killed at his rally. I don't give a shit if he got hit or not.
That's the most important. Yeah.
And again, here's someone else like the kid in Georgia is like, let me give my kid a semi-automatic weapon for Christmas. Like that celebrates the birth of Christ for sure. And I know people do that. And I don't care who has guns as long as they're responsible. I've got a nephew who I don't know how many guns he has, but he's a stable person. I don't give a crap what he has.
You have a tank yourself, right?
I was just going to say, I've said that several times. I've got a guy, a friend of mine who used to work with is like, he's got, I don't know how many guns. He's got like 12 or 15 rifles and blah, 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 whatever. He could have an M1 Abrams tank in his backyard. I don't care because I know he would be responsible and somehow find a firing range and take it there and use it there. That doesn't bother me. It's when people who do idiotic shit and they know their kid has some kind of an issue. I was so happy to see that they've charged the dad in Georgia, and that took them like virtually no time. 2 days later, he's up on charges. And he should be.
He's
responsible. Yeah. The two parents in Michigan, they're both sentenced to like, for what, 3 and 4 years of jail. They should be, because they're partially responsible.
Yeah.
It's like, you start doing that shit, you're going to see a lot less of this crap happening.
Yep.
And that's something she should have brought up, which didn't come up. It was like, oh, you want to talk about criminality?
She should. There were missed opportunities.
That. Yeah. She could have done better. But overall, like, I expected her to shred him, and she absolutely shredded him. He went through a cheese grater, and there was virtually nothing left except like
a, well, because he's orange. So I think the
American cheese too, like gross shit.
We should
melted just like that.
To end the show, we should give people the information that they've been waiting for. So currently, the Chicago White Sox are 33-113, but they're in fifth place, obviously, in the AL Central. That is only 41 games back, though, of the fourth place team.
So you're saying there's a chance
of the fourth place team in the AL Central. They're actually 50 games back at first place. Their run differential is -309. And surprisingly, they've already been eliminated. They have actually scored 447 runs, which is probably the lowest. It's got to be the lowest. And they've given up 756, which is not the most. So I don't think. Actually, that could be the most.
That's unbelievable. Can we throw a shout out to how stupid Elon Musk is also, by the way?
We shouldn't mention that. We shouldn't disparage a future cabinet member.
Of economic, what is it? Originally it was going to be economic development. And then it was going to be, he's like, he's going to make things more efficient. It's like,
So let me correct. The White Sox have allowed 756 runs. Okay. For somehow, the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are 69-76, have given up 863 runs.
Wow. But
they've scored
20.
That can't be right. That can't be right. I got to put my glasses. There's no way that can be true. Like, they can't have scored so many. I mean, who plays for the Pirates? Can't even find my glasses.
Nobody can find my glasses. Plays for the Pirates. Nobody plays for them at all. Yeah. While you're looking for that, Elon Musk
Roberto
said,
Clemente has 131 runs scored.
Well, that would make sense then. Anyone caught promoting propaganda will be suspended from X. And then a few days later, apparently.
Sorry, I was wrong.
Cats are being eaten. Oh, well, there you go. Hmm.
Scored the fewest runs and they've given up the most.
Well, that would lead to a bad record, but it shouldn't even be that bad, should it? What? How many runs have they scored?
They've scored 447, which is like 100 runs less than any other team.
199-809. And how many have they given up?
756.
Sorry. It's just funny. Okay, 199-570.
They're 18-56 at home, 15-57 on the road.
33-150. I think, if I remember the old Pythagorean formula that Bill James came up with, they should win 56 games over the season, which they're like 20 games under
that
projection, which is like as bad as their run production and their pitching is, they're 20 games worse. I'll have to look up that formula again to see if I entered it correctly. But it's like the fact that they're 20 games worse than their god awful stats would project.
They are 20 games worse than any other team.
Unbelievable.
The Marlins have 91 losses, 54-91, and the Rockies are 54-91 as well. It sucks to be a White Sox fan. I mean, there's no way around it. It's like, what's an improvement next year? 50 wins? 55 wins?
How many runs did they score again?
447.
And they allowed?
756.
756, that's what I thought. Okay, so the Pythagorean expectation is actually 0.259. I had a feeling I had the wrong calculation. So over the course of the season, they still should win 42 games. So they're still worse.
Yeah, I mean, they're on pace to be short of that.
they're still
winning
worse.
Percentage is 226 currently.
They're still 30 points worse than their horrible stats would indicate. It's like, that shows that not only do they not have talent, they still aren't run well.
They're gonna lose 120 games plus. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Tommy Lasorda must be rolling in his grave.
Tommy Sword is laughing in his grave. Laughing his ass. Actually, if it was the Yankees, he would be laughing his ass off. I doubt that he does. Tommy, did he ever know that the White Sox existed? I don't think he knew that.
Wasn't he on the team and when they play the White Sox in 59 in the World Series?
Sure.
I have to look that up. Well, it's 59, right? I'm not making that up.
I'm sure you're correct. You are.
I don't know if I'm correct.
You are the Tommy Lasorda person. I am not the Tommy Lasorda.
Well, people are looking that up and they're like, well, Lasorda didn't even play until.
You're the Dodger person. I am not the Dodger person. Although my brother would know. I should call him right now. Live.
Yeah, texting him. Yeah, it's great radio, isn't it?
Are you? Hey, what's up? Hey, what did Tommy Lasorda play? Did he play
exactly.
Did he play the White Sox and say, yes, as a matter of fact, yeah. He did.
So it was 1959, so I was right about that.
There you go.
Let's see who was on the team and for the Dodgers and opening day lineup. Wally Moon was.
But he wasn't playing. Could have been coaching at that point.
Well, Duke Snider, Gil Hodges, Don Zimmer.
Because he was washed. He was washed.
Opening day pitcher Don Drysdale while Koufax sat on the bench.
He was washed by 59.
Let's see, was Lasorda
the crafty lefty himself, Tommy Lasorda?
Lasorda was not on the team.
Nope,
not on the team. Had a pretty.
He was not on no team.
That's right. Had a horrible pitching staff: Drysdale, Carl Erskine, Sandy Koufax.
Yeah, that's pretty weak.
Clem Labine, Johnny Padres. Yeah.
1959, he was actually in Montreal, AAA. There you go.
Montreal. AAA team of the Dodgers at the time.
Indeed. And he also played in the Cuban Winter League for the Almendares in Havana.
Those people.
As it says here. Yeah. So I guess he turned Italian. Like shortly after that.
That's right. Turned Italian. Pee-wee Reese was a coach on the team. Interesting.
Pee-wee. Did you know, which I just saw this the other day, that speaking of Pee-wee, which made me think, of course, of Jackie Robinson, that Mrs. Jackie Robinson is still kicking it. 102 years old, which is incredible.
Hanging out with Don Cheadle.
Apparently.
Yeah. Anyway, that is our show. Thanks for listening to this historic episode of the 1959 Los Angeles Dodgers, which won the World Series 4-2 over the Chicago White Sox. Thanks for listening.
Why are you the worst?